Hello, everyone. In case you haven't noticed, we live in some very confusing, challenging, and polarizing times. It isn't easy following Jesus in 2024. How do we stay grounded in our faith? How do we stay true to biblical convictions? And how do we become more like Christ, all the while speaking the truth in love to the lost and hurting around us? This is Real Christian Talk with Pastor Steve. Welcome, and thank you for joining me on this episode of Real Christian Talk. I want to begin by first apologizing to my faithful few that are out there that listen to these podcasts. I have just been a bit tied up with a lot of different things as I'm squaring away some schooling and just doing life as a pastor, as a father, as a husband, but I will never abandon this podcast. I love doing it. And it's one of my favorite outlets to be able to share what the Lord puts on my heart and get it out there to you. So I promise I will always come back to it. And hopefully here beginning in the next month or so, I'll be able to regularly get back to regularly giving you podcast episodes. But I just had to talk about this incredible phenomenon that just swept the nation and really a lot of North America and Mexico and Canada. And that, of course, if you're not aware, is the solar eclipse that we here in the United States were blessed to be able to witness. If you haven't looked on social media lately, and if you don't live in our country here in America, we've just been caught up in this whole craze over the last several days about this solar eclipse. And at first, I wasn't going to particularly comment on it, but I had to say, I do finally feel like it's time for me to chime in about it. So I want to begin by reading, as I always do, from God's Word, a scripture that was on my heart for this episode. And that scripture comes from Psalm 19, verses 1 through 3, which says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard." Now that's a very simple, simplistic psalm, but it's very profound. And I connected with it and thought a lot about it over the last few days, as we have been in the craze of this solar eclipse. So just to give some background to you about myself, I grew up, you know, loving Star Trek The Next Generation, grew up watching Apollo 13, dressed up as an astronaut for Halloween one year, loved reading books about space, loved going to the planetarium with my school. And so space has always personally fascinated me, and I've always been interested in it. And so obviously anytime there's some meteor shower that's coming, or there's, you know, some crazy astronomical phenomenon, I'm always trying to get out there and look at it. I've had a couple of telescopes, and I've tried to use that. And I'll never forget how excited I was when I was able to see Saturn in my telescope, or see the moon up close on my telescope. I've always loved it. And so I was really excited about this solar eclipse. And my family and I, of course, we ordered the glasses. And, you know, I guess it did not dawn on me that the rest of the, at least the American world, was going to be interested in this. Because, you know, I'm always interested in astronomical stuff. I always love space and things like that. As we got closer to it, everybody was getting excited about it. Everybody was talking about the upcoming solar eclipse. And so it was an experience shared by millions. And lots of videos, lots of memes, a lot of funny memes, actually. You know, a lot of people talking about the eclipse. And one of the things that I immediately loved about this is that here in America, we have been in some very polarizing times. We have been very divided as a society, divided as a country. Our politics has become very polarizing. I think we're all just kind of in this sleepwalking denial that this November we're going to have a very polarizing election sequel to 2020. And so I think that this was a really awesome experience because it was the first time in a while where we shared an experience, a phenomenon together that we all got excited about as a country, as a society. You know, we were able to put our politics, our ideologies, our opinions on the shelf for just a couple of hours and just all get excited about this really cool, rare astronomical event that we all got to share together. And so I think that's one of the things I personally loved about this is it was something that was exciting and fun that was shared. And I there was a good thing that that's just, at least to me, over the last several years between, you know, COVID and the 2020 election and just how stark the culture wars are and just, you know, where things currently stand in America. I mean, for God's sake, we have a movie coming out in a couple of weeks it's coming out this week called Civil War. I mean, that's how stark and dark things have been, how divided things have been in the air in America. And so it was just kind of cool to have something we could all share together and just have fun, you know. And my family had fun. For me, I got young kids, and for them to be able to, you know, be part of this and be able to, especially my son, to be able to really enjoy this was a special moment for me, a bonding moment for me. Because, you know, we should have a sense of wonder and awe at the universe. And to see my children be able to have that and share that with them in a special experience that they probably won't be able to have, you know, well, at least for a while, again, was just really, really awesome. And so, you know, with all this, of course, I've kind of looked up into how in the world these things even happen. How do we have solar eclipses? And, you know, I'm no science expert, but it is fascinating how the eclipse works because the sun is 400 times or so larger than the moon is. And so it's like, okay, well, if the sun's so much larger than the moon is, how can the moon possibly block the sunlight from us? But yet the sun is also 400 some times further away from the earth than the moon is. And so between the moon and its orbit with earth and how it all works together, there are times where different kinds of eclipses happen. And usually when they happen in the North Pole or South Pole, you know, they usually happen a couple times a year, and they're usually not visible by a large amount of area or people. And so that's why this particular eclipse was so special, because it was one of the rare times where a good amount of people were going to be able to see this and experience it at the same time. And so what ultimately got me to want to record a podcast about this is actually just watching some reporters talking about this and how, you know, how this solar eclipse has captured the hearts and minds of millions. And I was struck by, especially for some that were in the path of totality, where the sun was completely blocked out, at least momentarily by the moon. What struck me and what really stuck out to me was just seeing people's emotions, seeing reporters choke up and cry at, you know, just how incredible this moment was. And, you know, hearing people cheer and hearing the wonder, the awe, and the excitement that different people had in reaction to this experience. You know, I think for me, it begs a question that, you know, I think we need to ask ourselves, and that's, why do we as humans get so caught up with these astronomical phenomena? You know, why are they, you know, I saw Charles Barkley actually made comments making fun of people that are so into this, you know, it's just period of darkness, big deal. And I gotta say, I differ with Mr. Barkley. Maybe that's why he didn't win an NBA championship. But you gotta appreciate rare, beautiful moments. And this was a rare, beautiful moment. This was an incredible phenomenon that Again, it's one thing for night and day, and that in itself is amazing. But if you were in the path of totality, seeing how things in the middle of the afternoon went so dark that streetlights come on and you can see stars in the sky, that's incredible. And the very sheer fact that that's even possible to be able to happen is something that I think should inspire all of us to have wonder and have awe at the universe, at nature, and most importantly, at nature's God, the one who is behind nature, the creator of the universe. It reminded me of the James Webb Telescope, you know, when the James Webb Telescope was launched and it was taking the James Webb Telescope, if you're not too familiar, it replaced the Hubble Telescope. It takes deep space pictures. And it was a big to-do when James Webb's telescope, just a couple years ago, released its first image of deep space. And it was the most incredible image. And I remember having conversations with one woman in particular who was not a Christian, who was not even per se a believer in God. But as we were talking about spiritual things, that picture came up. And that picture that provoked such wonder and awe within her then naturally caused for her to begin to question the bigger questions of life, the bigger questions of the universe, the bigger questions of meaning. And ultimately, she herself said, I have to admit, when I look at the universe, when I look at that picture from that telescope, I have to admit, it does look like a miracle. And those were her exact words. It looks like a miracle. And when we get to witness something like a solar eclipse, which is something that only our planet in this solar system is able to experience in itself, just the fact that we even can have that, and you know, is in itself something that should get all of us to just be caught up in wonder and awe, and ultimately to ask the bigger questions of what it's all about, and the bigger questions of what does the universe tell us. And on that note, the psalm that I chose for this episode is a personal favorite because, if you're not familiar, Psalm 19 starts off in the first few verses by talking about how God speaks to us and reveals himself through nature, through the heavens. The heavens declare the glory of God. You know, as King David penned that, in his lifetime, he had no way of knowing just how absolutely vast the heavens really are, and how incredible the universe really is. And there's David under divine inspiration echoing this theme of, you know, when I think about the vastness of the universe, I know I see your glory in it. And so Psalm 19, the first few verses, talks about how through nature God speaks. God reveals himself through nature. Theologians will say that God usually reveals himself typically in two major ways. We call it natural revelation and special revelation. Natural revelation refers to how we can know a lot of things about God from nature, from how the universe was, you know, made, from the very nature of the universe, by how thinly balanced the laws of nature are, by the life that we see, by the intricacies of nature. We can see a lot and we can know a lot about God. And we can know instinctively that there is a creator who must be powerful and who is wise and who is intelligent. And so Psalm 19 talks about how, regardless of where you happen to be at on this earth, or what belief system you were raised with, or where your heart and your mind happens to be when it comes to the things of God, at the end of the day, nature tells us, nature speaks to us about God. And so, you know, a lot of people have been caught up in a lot of hype about, you know, what is the solar eclipse? What kind of sign does it reveal? And so I felt led to call this the sign of the solar eclipse, not because I'm buying into that hype, but actually I kept hearing the words of a song that I grew up with in the late 1990s that meant a lot to me, from a Christian rock band called DC Talk. And in that One of their albums, one that really inspired me, an album called Supernatural. They have a song called Supernatural. And the chorus is, God is there and he is watching. It's supernatural. God is there and he is watching. The signs are everywhere. And I always loved that. That was like an anthem for me growing up, because the signs that God is there, the signs that he exists, the signs that he cares, the signs that he's involved in our lives are everywhere if we will just look. And so first and foremost, I want to say the solar eclipse is a sign that there is a God. It is a sign that there is a God. I could do a whole podcast or a whole series of podcasts about the various reasons to logically and rationally conclude that life in the universe is best explained as a result of intelligence, as a result of being guided, than believing that it was the result of an unguided process. I believe that the intricacies of a cell that are far more complicated than a Saturn V rocket definitely point towards an intelligent and powerful creator. And when you consider the sun and the moon and the earth and how the sun, if it were, you know, further away from us, we'd have problems. If it were closer to us, we'd have problems. If we were closer to the sun, we'd be too hot. If we'd be further, we'd be too cold. When you consider all the incredible intricacies, the solar eclipse is a rare phenomenon that's amazing. But just as amazing is the fact that you and I exist on this rock that is in space, that continues to turn on its axis and do this incredible thing every day, going from one day to another, where we have an atmosphere that protects us from things outside of space, that could protect us from the sun's rays. When you examine all the finely tuned aspects of the laws of the universe, the laws of nature, it's no wonder that so many of the founders of various fields of science acknowledge that there must be a creator, that there must be a God, and it points all back to him. You know, the tendency of humanity since the dawn of time has been to look at creation, recognize its majesty, its wonder, and its awe, and worship it instead of look to the creator who is behind it. And the truth is, for us as Christians, when we see something as incredible with safe solar eclipse glasses, something like a solar eclipse, or when we look up at the night sky, or we see the incredible aspects of nature, that should point us to worshiping God, not to worshiping nature itself. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 1 that human beings have had a tendency to worship the creature rather than the creator. And that's just not how it should be. If anything, what God has made should humble us and cause us to have wonder and awe for how much more powerful he must be. If he, you know, when my wife and I were looking at the sun with the solar eclipse glasses, we both felt like the sun just felt more intense to us as we were looking up at it. And maybe that's just because we don't normally look up at the sun to begin with. But I'll tell you what, just seeing how powerful, yet again, the sun really is, it didn't make me in awe of the sun. It made me in awe of the God who made the sun. And that's what the attitude should be for all of us that are believers in Christ. Another thing that's important to recognize is the solar eclipse is a sign that we matter to God, that we matter to him. Because how incredible is it that all these astronomical phenomena exist, and there's so much more that we can't even comprehend that's out there. You know, a lot of times if you look at, you know, some of the probes we've sent deep into space, they've taken pictures of Earth, you know, from a distance. We're just a small little dot, if that. And yet Psalm 8, another psalm where David reflects on the beauty and creativity of God's hand in nature, David writes, "When I consider your heavens, the moon and stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you should care for him?" And that's such a beautiful, powerful, profound thing to reflect on. Because, again, How incredible is it that with all that's been made, all that's been created, all that's out there, God cares about us. He cares about this planet. He cares about you. He cares about me. Just a few weeks ago, we had Easter, and we celebrated the beautiful good news that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, into this world, to this planet, to live among us, to reveal to us who he is, and to ultimately lay down his life for us. And you see, because natural revelation will tell us a lot about God and his existence and his power and his intelligence and so many things, but we need special revelation to know the nature of God and to know the story and to know what salvation's all about. And that's where we get the Bible, and that's where we get Jesus Christ himself coming to reveal to us who God the Father is. But when we think about just how incredible, in light of everything God has made, the fact that it's you and me he cares about. And also when we see things like the solar eclipse occur, it should be a reminder to us to keep things in perspective and to know that if God has this under control, well, then we don't need to worry about anything else. I'll never forget one of the most profound sermons I've ever heard in my life that really personally affected me was when I happened to be along to a special trip to something called Creation Fest. It's a Christian music festival used to go on in the Northeast here in the United States, and unfortunately disbanded a couple of years ago. But it was the largest Christian music festival in America, and every summer I'd go for many years. And I went as a student, I went with my dad, I went with my friends from college, I went as an author, I went as a youth pastor. And one time when I was there, we heard a speaker named Louis Giglio. And I just remember being moved to tears when he talked about and pointed to the various aspects and facts of nature, you know, from, you know, how much bigger the sun is, you know, to the earth, and talked about, you know, all these incredible facts of science and nature and how incredible nature is. And the point of his message really was one to humble us all and to recognize that all of nature worships God instinctively. All of nature worships God because the Bible says in the book of Job, ask the birds of the air, which of them do not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? Like the animals know. They know God exists. They know he is the creator. They know he deserves and is worthy to be worshiped, and they do so already. But you and I as human beings, we have to choose whether we're going to worship God. We have to choose whether we're going to recognize his hand in nature and worship him and love him with our whole hearts and our whole lives and trust him with our lives and recognize that, hey, if God in his power made the sun and if in his power and his wisdom he orchestrated this incredible clockwork of a system here in the solar system, if he did all that, well, then why do I need to worry about that health diagnosis so much? Or why do I need to worry or dread how we're going to pay this bill? Or why do I need to worry and have dread over any circumstantial challenge if I know that God is so much more powerful than I could possibly imagine? And so that is something that has always stuck with me. You know, what is man that you're mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him, and yet he does. And the solar eclipse is a reminder to us that as incredible and wonderful as nature is, God keeps it under control. And it's a way to teach us that if he has that under control, then he can have everything that we deal with under control as well. Finally, the solar eclipse is a sign / I'll say reminder that Jesus is coming. Now, before you roll your eyes and think, okay, so I've joined this bandwagon of saying, oh, the solar eclipse is Bible prophecy of judgment on America or judgment on the world, like many were giving into, some were anyway. We're hyping that up. Anytime there's a blood moon or there's some kind of astronomical phenomenon, you always have a fringe element, unfortunately, that uses that to sell books, to get on the radio and to scare the living crap out of people and telling them that, oh, this is it. This is the end. And they try to manipulate Bible prophecy in a way that is just so wrong and just not true to the text. So let me be absolutely clear. No, the solar eclipse is not a sign of impending judgment on America or on the world. But Jesus does give, generally speaking, in Matthew 24 and other places, he talks about all kinds of natural phenomena that are going to occur as we get closer to the return of Jesus Christ. And I do think we should always pay attention to that and recognize that we will see a lot of signs and wonders that precede Christ's coming. And we've been seeing that, actually. And at least for me, I saw a quote that really stuck out that I think is so true for what our attitude should be when it comes to things like the solar eclipse. And I did think about this a little bit as well as the hype was going. And, you know, I was trying to make sure, then we were trying to make sure our kids had their glasses when they were coming out of school, because for our children were going to be dismissed from school right when the eclipse was happening. And I'm sure a lot of others were in the same boat. I saw this meme on Facebook. Somebody tagged me in it, and I wanted to share that with you. And it says, "I wish people would get prepared for the coming of the Lord like they're getting prepared for this solar eclipse." And that really stuck out to me. I wish people would get as prepared for this for Jesus coming as they are for the solar eclipse. Because that is coming and that is happening. And it's only a matter of time. Could be today, could be before I finish recording this episode, that Jesus does come. Because from a biblical standpoint, prophetically, I don't believe there's anything that needs to take place for him to come and take us to be with him. And so every day we should live recognizing the wonder, the awe of the miracle that is existence each and every day, which point towards the existence of God and point towards the fact that God loves and cares for us and is a reminder to us that Jesus is going to come and we should be ready for whenever that is going to happen. And so I wanted to read this quote that I shared on my social media, and it's from R.L. Salberg, which says, "An eclipse is a cosmic reminder that the universe is not a random collection of matter and events that happen by chance. The cosmos is so finely tuned that we can know precisely where every heavenly body will be 200 years from now, down to the minute. These events remind us that the universe is not an accident, and neither are we. God made both, and he is in control." That struck a chord with me and resonated with my heart. I hope it does for you. And I hope things like the solar eclipse help inspire you to worship and have wonder and awe, not just at something that's so cool like that, but at the God who's behind all of it, the creator and maker and sustainer of life in the universe, the one who said that he made us and we are his. In him, all things hold together. And the same God who's holding the universe together, the same God who's keeping the earth and the moon where they are and in the orbits that we're in and all that, the same God who holds that together can hold you and I together as well. And yes, one day Jesus is coming, and may we be ready. And hopefully, again, it should not take a solar eclipse to cause hype and wonder as to whether Jesus is coming, because Jesus said that when he does come, it will be unexpected and that most people will not be anticipating it. So if anything, it won't be at a hyped up moment like a solar eclipse or a blood moon that we should be looking up wondering if Jesus is coming. It should be every single day when you go through the mundane, when you go through your routines, when you live your life, live it for the Lord, because one of these days, whether by death or by his coming, we will be with the Lord forever. I thank you for listening to this podcast, and I want to encourage you in closing, as I do at the close of every episode, that I'm honored and privileged to be able to bring you the words from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 through 14. May you stand firm in your faith, and let everything that you do be done in love. God bless.